crypto.com.
Hello and welcome to the RT interview, The Crypto Talk. Today we are speaking with Robert Crossley, Global Head of Industry and Digital Advisory Service at Franklin Templeton, and Christian Machtz, who is the Head of Germany and Austria. Christian, please tell us a few words about tokenization in the view from Franklin Templeton, Germany and Austria.
Hello, everyone. And maybe let me, before I answer your question, let me take a step back and have a quick look at our industry as it stands today. So we are changing. The financial industry is changing at a brutal speed. So I have never seen such a speed of change during my whole career. So what was a mutual fund in the past is now an ETF and will now move into the digital world. What was with private markets a more institutional offer in the past is now democratizing to the retail space, to the wholesale space. So that means you have a rapid change in the product offer to customers more broadly. So, and what you have is you have what I would describe as a digital revolution in the way how customers can access those type of products. So think about neo brokers, think about fintechs, think about all the types of digital advice solutions we're seeing in the market. And Germany, interestingly, is one of the leading markets for digital in Europe. And maybe globally, I think probably behind the US, but on a global level, we're definitely on the forefront of developing to that space. So that means when you look at the next generation of investors, so they ask for more convenience in how to access assets, how to invest into assets, when to buy and sell. So, and also there is, as always, a high level of cost sensitivity. To the way of investing. And that's even more important when you think about long-term retirement solutions, that even more important when you think about you invest into multiple asset classes and you add a layer of complexity to that. So I'm of the opinion that most of what we've seen with cryptocurrencies over the last couple of years is a type of training camp, is where we all learn on how to deal with the new way of approaching assets, which all is under the headline tokenization. And tokenization, to me, is the next revolution in our industry and should be separated from blockchain and how do we deal with infrastructure. But Robert, at my right, I think he's really the expert to talk about the two things coming together at the later stage. But when you put yourself into the shoes of an asset manager like we are, so I think your job is managing assets and offering your clients a broad base of different assets to be combined in an individual portfolio to deliver on their needs. So that means what you want is all types of investable assets possible in an easy to access way, ideally on one platform, and ideally at the cheapest price possible. So this is a bit of the starting point. This is the demand starting point. So, and tokenization to me is the translation of traditional, in most cases fairly complex assets, into a new way to approach them, to buy them, to sell them, to deal with them. So, and ideally in a more convenient and easier way to do that. So it's a long, winding answer to your question, but it always gives you a bit of a direction on how we think about that.
How are the investors actually judging that? Are they taking all your offers?
So I think it's early stage. It's early stage. And ideally, as an investor, that at least is my way of thinking about that. So you will not realize going forward if you buy tokenized assets or if you buy a real asset or if you have your investment assets on a vault infrastructure or on a traditional account record keeping structure. So that means for you, it's just a much more convenient and ideally cheap way to access. So you might not realize that. Think about that as a type of custody service or wrapping service to your investments. So to make that much more easier. So I think investors will partially realize, partially not. So I think when you look at the demand side, cryptocurrencies give us an idea on how much demand for that type of solutions is in the market. So, and we definitely see demand for low price, lower price investment assets out there. So, which right now is addressed by ETFs, and going forward will be even more addressed by tokenized assets.
Now you mentioned the behavior of the typical retail investor. How do you think institutional investors are handling the topic tokenization?
So I can tell you from my experience with institutional investors over the last couple of years that they are very open to that topic. So they see even more the advantages of those type of investing. And when you think about maybe not the most simple version of it, but one of the versions we are offering already, that is tokenized money market. So that's a typical institutional product. So where you have 24/7 trading, so you have features to the investment solution that are fairly new, but highly attractive to large global corporates. So, and you can gain yield much more than with all the products in the past. So there are a lot of advantages, and yes, we're discussing that actively with a lot of clients in the market, and we have clients already moving into that space.
Thank you, Christian Machtz. Now we're talking to Robert Crossley. He's the Global Head of Industry and Digital Advisory Service at Franklin Templeton. Do you want to add something to what Christian just mentioned?
I would love to. Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited to be here in Germany, and especially with what the rate of progress here. What I'd like to pick up on and what Christian said was he made some really important points. The first was that around the speed of change. So the danger, or one of the dangers that I see, is that the world is changing faster than we're updating our beliefs about it, and faster than we're updating our business models and our thinking across the industry. Secondly, when you think about any form of technology, whether it's blockchain, whether it's AI, whether it's steam power, it does the same thing in the sense that it makes new things possible and it changes the fixed and variable cost structure of the industry. So essentially it redraws the line between what's commoditized and what's valuable, or in investment language, between alpha and beta. And I think when Christian talked about that, and he talked about the next generation, it wasn't just the next generation of people, it's almost the next generation of technology, of expectations, of needs, and the intersection between those needs and the technology changes and has to change the way that we think about portfolios, investing, wealth creation, and value. And if you take a step back and look at what's really driving the change in industry, there's the demand side drivers, which are essentially people's needs, the different needs of the different expectations of different generations, the demographics. So if you think here in Germany, let's think 2,500 people turn 60 every single day. And if you have children, your children have, about a quarter of our children today have a very good shot of making it past 100. That is a lot of retirement, or that's a lot of working life to finance. Secondly, on the supply side of the equation, that's really where all the technology comes in terms of blockchain, in terms of AI, that's driving these changes that we see. And at the same time, in the middle of those two, the supply and demand, if you think about how the world of work is changing, if you think about the gig economy, our whole world is much more on demand, much more composable, I suppose, in crypto speak. Your job, your career, the whole financial system, which is really built on and focused on the workplace, is being changed by the reality of the economy and technology. And when Christian was talking about even something as simple and as fundamental as a money market fund, and maybe we'll come on to this later, that is a really good example of what we at Franklin Templeton call real world benefits rather than real world assets. If you're updating the shareholder record in real time, you can pay interest in real time. You can control collateral in real time. You can actually have an asset that does something functionally very, very different from our traditional assets. So one of the problems that we have in these discussions in our industry is that our traditional way of thinking, our traditional definition of terms, and our traditional way of looking at the world are all being forcibly challenged, or those meanings are being stretched by what the technology is making possible. And that's really why I'm so excited to be here and talking to you today, Christian.
You know, Robert, I was raised in a world where T plus two was actually the thing. I think we are T plus something, or?
Absolutely. So it always makes me, the reason I'm laughing is that Benji, our natively on-show money market fund, we measure that settlement cycle in seconds. It's a block cycle. Okay. So even the unit of measurement going from days, not even to hours, but to seconds, that unlocks a whole slew of benefits that were previously completely impossible. But that's a great example of what I was talking about. The way that we think is being forcibly changed by new things that are made possible. However, if you're using the technology not to provide the benefits, but just to replicate the status quo in a more efficient way, I'd argue you're almost missing the point, or you're missing, the clients aren't receiving the benefits if you're just issuing a tokenized receipt of the ownership, which is then going to settle next Tuesday.
Sometimes 3 minutes waiting for crossing two chains on the wallet is a long time. But before we go into detail and talk about the Benji, let's talk about market transformation. Mm-hmm. Because we have recently seen that Nasdaq was moving towards enabling tokenized versions of equities mm-hmm. within the existing market structure. And I think within the existing market structure is the word we should focus on. At the same time, you guys, Franklin Templeton's research suggests that institutions are actively planning for blockchain-based models. You mentioned it already. How do you connect these two developments at the moment?
I think they're enormously significant, Christian. The reason why is that if you look at almost the life cycle of acceptance of, let's call it crypto, blockchain, whatever you want to call it, to start with, people hoped it was going to go away. Then they begrudgingly accepted it, and now with various sort of changes that have happened in the world, it's become an unstoppable force. At Franklin Templeton, we were very lucky in that our CEO, Jenny Johnson, used to run ops and technology, and that's why we were one of the reasons why we were so early and so far ahead in our development and our journey. The reason why those two factors are so important, Christian, I think, is that previously, we had a situation where the industry was tokenizing individual securities or individual issues and then wondering why liquidity wasn't magically created or why the world wasn't changed. What the DTCC in the US or the DTC and NASDAQ are doing is essentially tokenize or giving the option of a tokenized version of the security top down, so the whole asset class. So DTCC has announced, so last year they announced that this year they are going to be working on tokenizing $100 trillion of US securities, equities and bonds. And with the ability to be able to either use the traditional rails with all the both the benefits and restrictions that has, or to be able to use new tokenized rails in a frictionless way, that opens the door to the displacement of inferior, clunkier, possibly less secure, more costly technology in the same way that ETFs have gradually replaced mutual funds. That has set the stage for the industry being able to vote with its feet and choosing the system and choosing the operating system, which gives them more advantages for their individual purposes. So top down, not bottom up. And I think that's a game changer.
Okay, let's talk about infrastructure. Your work often brings together three building blocks, mm-hmm. wallets, mm-hmm. tokenization, mm-hmm. and smart contracts. Mm-hmm. How do these fit together in practice?
That is a great question, and one I've never been asked. It's I think the intersection between them is really important, and I think there's a couple of valuable points that I think the industry overlooks here. The first is that we get lost in the technology. We talk about tokenization. When something is tokenized, it moves on chain by definition. A blockchain is a piece of software. A wallet is a piece of software. An asset, when it moves on chain, is a piece of software. So essentially what we're saying is as something moves on chain, it becomes software and software is programmable. So there's a whole set of implications around programmability, automation and customizability. The second big implication is that in order to hold a token, you also have to hold that in a wallet. So this is driving, and linking back to your previous point and question, this is driving that shift from an exclusively account-based world to a wallet and account-based world. And in those wallets, you have so much more functionality, so much more possibility and dimensions of possibility that don't exist within just accounts. And then thirdly, the smart contracts. If you think about a smart contract, really it's a form of automation. It's almost an intelligent form of automation that's embedded in something else, in the asset, in the wallet, in another piece of code. And if you take that even one step further, what becomes really, really almost mind-blowing is when you consider that agents, AI agents, are already starting to be embedded in wallets. If you think about a wallet containing all of your assets in the future and liabilities and benefits, etc., you have a single repository or a single locus of control for your entire portfolio. The ability to overlay that with intelligent decision-making that is bounded by various levels of autonomy, then you start to see the degrees of freedom to add value to clients and to add value to individuals, whether institutional or retail, in completely new ways. And so here at Franklin, our mission essentially in this part of the world is essentially to bring those real world benefits of the technology and, more importantly, our understanding of that technology to bear on individual client problems, because the current financial system or the current investment management world is still A, running on rails that were invented before the internet, B, are running on mental operating systems that maybe haven't kept up as quickly as the technology, and thirdly, that have to satisfy a set of needs of individuals of all different ages that are both growing and fragmenting. And I think technology enables us to be able to address all of those at once.
But still, when people hear smart contracts, mm-hmm. it sounds abstract.
It does.
What is a practical use case that shows their value clearly? Mm-hmm.
If we take away the sort of unfamiliar language, I think we are in our everyday lives, we are used to various forms of automation. And we're almost used to the concept of an algorithm making automatic decisions for us, whether it's in our phone or your Facebook feeds being most of the dross being screened out. That all happens automatically behind the scenes in an automated way by software. A smart contract is essentially doing the same thing. It's a piece of auto-executable code which performs certain actions based on events in the outside world. So people, the other piece of jargon that you'll often hear is an oracle. An oracle is a data source of an event happening in the outside world, which is then read by the smart contract. Essentially, it's a sort of machine-readable event. And then that triggers the automatic execution of whatever that piece of software is being asked to do. Now, in our conversation and talking about the industry as a whole, there are all sorts of second and third order implications of that automation. So whether it's around regulation, whether it's around the ability to do things in real time, to be able to, whether it's regulation in real time and compliance, or it's being able to anticipate, that level of automation fundamentally changes what is possible. The ability to embed that automation actually in the asset, in the token, or in the wallet, that's what really changes what's possible.
Wallet-based systems are another important theme in your research. What do wallets improve for institutions and for end investors?
Wow, that's a big question, Christian.
Just a short answer.
Single locus of control of assets. So instead of assets being dispersed, they are in one place. The programmability or the potential programmability of those assets, because they are in tokenized form, and the much, much more efficient transfer, exchange, payment, etc., of and for those assets.
Well, let's make a little bit an excurs. We are now seeing the rise of agentic systems. Mm-hmm. They're in the news everywhere. Mm-hmm. AI agents that can act autonomously and transact. How do you think about a future where these agents can exchange value directly? For example, through wallets or tokenized assets?
I think what you've put your finger on, Christian, is what's going to change the world in the next few years, almost beyond all recognition, because you can think of tokenization and tokenization of assets as creating, oh, actually, and tokenization of data, as creating machine-readable things or machine-readable assets. AI is A, fed on data, as we were talking about earlier with sort of agents and training. Secondly, the autonomous decision making, which can be and so automated and autonomous decision making, which can be implemented through the wallet, needs machine readable assets and machine readable forms of payment. Now, the reason that our natively tokenized money market fund, Benji, is so exciting to us strategically and from a conceptual perspective is that you have a form of money that you can use to pay for transactions, which operates in real time. There is no settlement, there's negligible settlement lag because you are settling in real time, you're being paid interest in real time. You don't have that settlement friction and lag. So when you think, when you put AI and blockchain together, if you think of the world or the investment management world as being composed of three layers, and you may have heard my the lady who runs innovation, Sandy Call, my boss, talk about this. At the fundamental layer, the industry's infrastructure is being changed. You have this infrastructure layer, which is wallets and blockchain. On top of that sort of architecture layer, or the re-architecting of the industry, you have a what you might call a liquidity layer or a payment layer, different forms of money with different properties and different advantages being created, which are being used to pay for transactions on these sort of blockchain rails. And then and only then at the top level do you have the product and service layer where you actually tokenize the individual assets themselves. As an industry, we tend to fast forward straight to the product layer because we think in terms of products. The real revolution is at that architectural or infrastructure layer together with that payment and liquidity layer. And putting the two things together, I think you'll start to see an acceleration in agentic payments this year. So using the, and that's by no means a controversial view, using forms of digital money or even fiat money to pay for things almost autonomously and seamlessly, that will be a stepping stone towards a much broader and much more holistic use of the portfolio and the wallet to extract the benefits that that starts to enable. So I think putting the two things together, whether it's sort of agents and the blockchain architecture, even if it wasn't for training agents, would be revolutionary in and of itself.
You mentioned it a few times, Benji. What's behind this beautiful name, Benji?
It's a pun on Benjamin Franklin, in our sort of eponymous name of the firm, Franklin Templeton. It is a US 40 Act fund, money market fund, that has been on-chain coming up for almost half a decade. So trading, settling 24/7, 365. We run that across 10 public chains simultaneously, and we run validator nodes on all of those chains. So we're part of the infrastructure helping maintain the health of those chains and validating transactions. There are two important points there. The first is that that inside-out view of a chain gives us a very privileged perspective as to the health of that chain. Because if I'm an investor, the only reason to buy any cryptocurrency is to pay for block space. You want your transactions to be recorded on that blockchain. Looking at that blockchain from the outside is a very difficult thing to do, to actually assess the health of it, the vitality of it, the characteristics of it, when you are a validator, when you're on the inside, you have a very different investment perspective of those chains, and we're assessing new chains all the time. Secondly, having a digital, uniquely having a digital transfer agent, being able to have the book of record exclusively on chain, that unlocks all the benefits we were talking about earlier in terms of real-time actual payment, not just accrual, of interest, and even being able to, and what we're working on is even being able to allocate interest intraday according to the length of your ownership. That becomes the pay, or the having a hard asset that you can use as a payment instrument in the world that we're talking about, then you start to see something that it looks like a very boring thing, a money market fund, suddenly becomes a, has much, much greater utility in this developing financial system. So whether it's for a retail investor who just wants to see their interest, to receive their interest in real time, or it's an institutional, let's say a treasurer who wants real-time interest, or a trader on a hedge fund on a crypto exchange wanting to have a lower haircut on their collateral, it's the same instrument can perform many, many different functions because it's in tokenized form and because it's in natively tokenized form. And so we use sort of Benji for shorthand for all of that, but it's really the multifunctional instrument that we think will be at the heart of so much of the activity in the future ecosystem.
Is Benji something that is only available for US investors, or is it also available for European or German investors?
We started off with a 40 Act version. We now have a UCITS version, Luxembourg. We have a Singapore version. We have a Cayman version. So there are multiple versions. Yes, it is available in UCITS format.
How would you compare the motivation of the investors coming from the US or living in Europe? Are they equivalent? Are they different when it comes to tokenization?
I think this is one of the areas where our traditional way of thinking is being challenged, in that we will both naturally think in terms of geographic differences or generational differences. And absolutely, those still exist, and regulation is helping perpetuate those. However, I think that the differences between different geographies has much more to do with the both restrictions and freedoms of current regulation than it does of the actual underlying demand. And so being able to, I think the uses to which assets are put are universal because our needs are universal. However, we have different freedoms in different jurisdictions. There is a really interesting, I think, link to something even more fundamental in your question, Christian, in that when you buy an asset in the traditional world, you buy an asset because you want its value to appreciate. You buy it for its cash flows, obviously. In that sense, our ownership of that asset is almost passive. We buy it, we wait for it to change value. And if I'm an institutional investor, I can maybe do stock loan, I can do a few things, but not very much. I can't really sweat the asset. Buying that exact same asset in tokenized form in decentralized finance, DeFi represents a whole set of machinery that I can use that asset in many, many different ways to extract more value from it, to extract more income from it, to extract more utility from it. So exactly the same asset wrapped in a different way becomes something that has much more potential and different forms of value. So essentially what's happening is the two worlds of decentralized finance and all its technology and traditional finance are essentially converging, and those benefits that you can only get today in DeFi will be available to everybody in traditional finance, and we are trying to accelerate that future.
Robert, tomorrow is the Crypto Asset Conference here in Frankfurt. Will you attend?
I will attend, and I'll be very pleased to be speaking on one of the panels in the afternoon.
Thank you very much for the conversation. What becomes clear is that tokenization is moving beyond theory into real-world implementation, shaping how assets are issued, distributed, and managed. The combination of wallets, smart contracts, and tokenized funds is starting to redefine financial infrastructure. Thank you also to our audience for listening to the Alti Crypto Talk. See you next time.
Thank you.
Alti.com, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. Alti.com.